The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
What is it that made you write a book about angels after having written The Unseen Realm?
Yeah, Unseen Realm sort of set the stage for angels. Unseen Realm is sort of a Genesis to Revelation overview of biblical theology with a specific eye toward how the supernatural world intersects with the human world in salvation history throughout Scripture. And so Angels was sort of a drill down book. You know, taking one, you know, subtopic from Unseen Realm and just going a lot deeper in it.
You know, when people think of the supernatural realm, and your book, the first book is titled The Unseen Realm, I find that people get very sloppy. They kind of act like it can be whatever I want it to be. They don't realize it's like saying atoms can be whatever I want them to be because I can't see them, so I can kind of believe what I want. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it can be what you want it to be. There's an actual reality there, a hard reality.
Yeah.
And so angels are part of that hard reality. But when we're talking about the unseen realm, the supernatural, it goes beyond angels. So what else is there before we get into angels? When we're talking about the supernatural world, what else are we talking about?
Yeah, I have found, I agree with your opening comments. I think a lot of Christians are selectively supernatural. You know, we got God, we got Jesus, we got, you know, if we affirm the incarnation, the deity of Christ, and now maybe Satan and demons, maybe. You know?
The resurrection's already making them nervous,
right.
But they know they have to go with that.
Yeah, and there's this flawed assumption that those are the respectable supernatural things, like an Enlightenment worldview that we're part of, will respect us for that.
Right.
And I got news for you. Nothing that we believe as Christians is going to earn the respect of a materialistic Enlightenment worldview. But we don't, you know, we don't parse it that way for some reason.
Right.
There are a number of reasons. But, you know, once you sort of, you know, get into this, I have found, and I point out in the second book, Angels, that a lot of what Christians do think about angels, even those who are willing to accept the idea, is really the result of filtering the subject through and by means of tradition.
So and pop culture.
And pop culture, absolutely. This book is about the good guys, members of God's heavenly host that are loyal to him. There's going to be a follow-up book sometime in 2019 on demons, the powers of darkness. So I wanted to give the good guys equal time, but even when it comes to the good guys, there are myths that in some sectors of Christianity have almost, you know, been elevated to the level of doctrine, but they're actually not in Scripture.
Like what?
Well, like the idea that a third of the angels rebelled before the fall or before creation.
Well, that's not, in other words, that's not fixed, but it's a speculation. But I think it's a reasonable speculation based on what we read in the Scripture. But it's not something we can say it's clear.
Yeah, there isn't a single verse for it in the Bible. If you actually look up the word third, an angel, in the Bible, it occurs in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 12.
I think you're cheating because you use Logo software to look that up. Okay, but seriously, where does that idea come from?
Well,
does it only come from Revelation?
The idea of heavenly host, you know, rebellion within the heavenly host, within the supernatural world, that is certainly biblical and old. You actually have three rebellions between Genesis 1 and Genesis 11, three supernatural rebellions. So if you ask the average Christian, hey, why is the world such a chaotic mess? The answer you're going to get is the fall.
Of course. It's the fall. Evil is evil.
Right.
And
that's,
it entered the
and
world.
That's a partial answer.
Okay. But so when you say this, and if you ask me, how did the world get so screwed up? And instead of joking, I give you the real answer. I say, well, it's called the fall.
All of that is true. But if you were an ancient Israelite and I asked you the question, that's not the answer you would get. You would say, well, there's actually three reasons.
Okay.
The fall is the first one and fundamental. And then there are two other supernatural rebellions.
You said there are three rebellions, or you said an ancient Jew would answer this differently. Yeah. What would they say?
They would say the fall. The problem that derived from the fall is our estrangement from God and our death problem and just the manifestation of our own rebellious hearts.
Okay.
Genesis 6, 1 through 4 is the next one. And in Jewish tradition, that is a contributor, an accelerator to human depravity.
But most people on this program, including the host, don't know what you're referring to when you say it's the Genesis 6, 1, 4.
Right. It's the sons of God and the daughters of men episode, you know, the weird first four verses in Genesis 6.
Can you help us understand what is happening in Genesis 6, 1 through 4?
There are two ways to look at it. Ancient people looked at it as a mixture, you know, literally a cohabitation. The sons of God see the daughters of man, and, you know, they take them wives of all that they chose, and then you have this weird offspring, the Nephilim, that come out of that.
Hold on. Who are the sons of God?
The sons of God, in Old Testament usage, that phrase always refers to members of the heavenly host.
Okay, so we're talking about
angels.
Angels, but for angels to do something like that implies that they're different kind of angels. And when we think of angels, I think of these are God's warriors. They mm-hmm. love God and they serve God. So when you're talking about angels transgressing in Genesis 6, what kind of angels could it be? Are these fallen angels?
Angels were created as, in their realm, in the supernatural realm, as God's imagers. He shares his attributes with them, just like we are God's imagers on earth.
Right.
And one of those attributes is freedom, and they choose to rebel. To me, the third rebellion is actually the most interesting, and that is what happens at Babel, because this is the one where Christians are very familiar with the Babel story. You know, we hear this in Sunday school, we teach it in Sunday school, Genesis 11, 1 through 9. When the Most High divided up the nations, he divided them up according to the number of the sons of God.
Now, when God established the boundaries of the nations, that makes it sound like God likes the idea of national sovereignty.
It was actually a punishment. Have you ever, think about the flow of biblical history. Haven't you ever wondered, well, look, like you read the first five or six or seven chapters, you know, you got the flood in there, but you read these chapters and everybody sort of is relating to one God, okay? And then all of a sudden, when you get to the end of Genesis 11, we have the reference to Abraham's father, Terah, you know, worshiping other gods. Like, how'd that happen? And the explanation for that actually is Deuteronomy 32:8. God decided after the flood, he punishes the nations, he divides them up, confuses their languages. And then the very next verse in Deuteronomy 32 says, "But Israel is Yahweh's portion. Jacob is his allotted inheritance."
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. They are preparing grounded leaders who are impacting public policy and serving in the public square. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.